Here for another podcast for the Transcending Time series, and I'm extremely excited about this one and honoured to have my guest today, who is Derica Claus. Now, this is a lady that I only found out about this week. Actually, I was on Facebook and I came across this video log from her, and she was ex-military. Ex-Navy, and what she said in quite a short vlog was very powerful. She had a very kind way of putting her point of view across, and obviously coming directly from a military background, I thought it was extremely powerful message to get out there, and I'm delighted to have her on from over in America. So without further ado, Derica, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so yeah, I just want to say to you thanks for agreeing to do this.
Absolutely, and, it's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's an absolute honor, and as you know, there's so much going on in the world right now, and a lot of it really does rely on, or positive change relies on, in my view anyway, getting through to people within the organizations, I guess, that kind of serve the system. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I was very pleased to see your video. So if you could just start by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you know maybe the time you spent in the Navy and what brought you to where you are today, where you're actually doing vlogs to talk out about this, which is
sure.
Very brave as well.
Sure, and thank you. I served in the United States Navy from 2001 to 2007. I'm 36 years old now, and I've got three kids, and you know, my oldest son is a teenager now, and so it's been a little while since I served, but you know, I've had a lot of time to think about what our military is trying to accomplish, and things just were not adding up. So I started seeking some answers that made some sense. And, you know, the more I looked into it and the more people I connected with, usually on Facebook, who had different views than me, and people who could open me up to new ideas, the more I, you know, kind of started to realize that the whole thing is just one big lie. And it, you know, it really is. And it's a very hurtful thing to realize when you've been a part of it. If I can, I would like to spare other people that pain. You know, the pain of knowing that they supported this, that they were a part of this. So that's why I've been trying to spread the word. And, you know, I have been for a couple of years now, but I hadn't tried making a video yet. that was the first video that I did. And I guess that's the way to go, because that's getting a lot more attention than, you know, any of the things I had written and posted on Facebook, or, you know, any of the pages that I admin on Facebook. So that's sure. the purpose of doing the videos now.
Yeah. I do some myself. They're not the most enjoyable things to do, certainly not for me, but they do seem to get out more, because I think people like seeing people's faces. They get a feeling for that person's energy, and they are very powerful. And I think it's great that actually we have all this technology, which I think was there to maybe use against us when we're actually turning the tables and using it against them. I actually find it quite funny. So,
and wonderful. I find it quite wonderful too.
Exactly. So you say you started asking questions. Was that after you served, or did you have any feelings while you were in the Navy that things weren't quite right? Any sort of nagging feelings?
Well, yeah, and you know, as so many of these things do, they always start on a personal level, and maybe I just was never much good at obeying authority, anyways. But it always kind of rubbed me the wrong way that, you know, these people, they don't care about how good I'm doing my job. They care if my hair is a half an inch too long. Or, you know, they don't care about how efficient I am. They care that if my nail polish is the wrong color. And all of this just started to get, that's kind of where it begins. It just starts to seem kind of ridiculous. And then from ridiculous, you can make the transition and keep looking and see that some of these things, they go beyond ridiculous and they become just completely stupid. And then from stupid, you can get into, well, some of these things go beyond stupid. They are just criminal, and that's just the progression for me. A lot of people come to it different ways. That's just the way that I came to it. I was from a military family. My father served in Vietnam. My grandfather was in World War II, and like all the way back through every American war, there's somebody from my family. So this is something that I was very educated and pushed to believe in, but it still just rubbed me wrong. So that's how it began for me, just the little irritations building into looking into why they're necessary and then seeing the stupidity behind them, and then so on and so forth.
Mm. So you, I mean, you say you had a big sort of military background, so that obviously influenced you straight away going into it. And I guess one thing that I've come to learn is that speaking to military or ex-military and researching this is that you kind of kept away from the rest of civilization and.
Mm-hmm.
I guess away from people that could perhaps sway you to think otherwise about what you're doing, and
right, and you're taught
sort of in your own little bubble, right?
Right. Yes, and the people who would open you to new ideas are vilified with all these collectivist labels that get slapped onto them. Don't listen to those hippies, the liberals, the conservative, whatever labels that we put on people. It gives us a reason to discredit them without even hearing what they've had to say.
Mm. Yeah, it's that's right. You get called a liberal or a lefty or anything like that, or like you say, a hippie, even for questioning what's going on there. So.
Right, and I've been called everything. I've been called a commie and a fascist, and I mean, just people can't conceive of somebody not fitting inside one of these boxes that society has created for them.
Yeah, sure. And also, I've heard that there's almost like a kind of bordering on a hatred for normal civilized or for the rest of. The civilized population, like it's so segregated that it's a very much them and us kind of mindset that are in these. Is that what you found?
Well, I don't know that I would use the word hatred because most military people believe that that's the population that they are serving and protecting, but I would say that there is there's an instilled sense of kind of contempt. For people who aren't part of this brotherhood, and they could never understand, and I believe that some of that is also reflected on the population at large. They've internalized some of that and made military members out to be these higher beings in some way. And every person you come across is just a person. It doesn't matter what they're wearing.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. It's something that really gets to me. How, I mean, I'm from the UK, so we're very much a military nation, like the States, and
mm-hmm.
how it's so really rammed down people's throats to support the troops, and it's everything is to support the troops and.
Right.
And glorified, and we like you say, we've developed this mindset, this culture whereby we've actually glorified war, we've glorified everything that it stands for and made mm-hmm. it something to be proud of. And this is the biggest hurdle that I've had with speaking to military And they, for me, I'm being honest here, is that I think that the hardest, they know that a lot of them know that the governments are lying about the reasons they're going to war. They actually know that they're cannon fodder, but I feel like a lot of them, they don't want to give up that kind of hero label, that kind of worship that they get from the general public. And I think that if they start acknowledging truth and doing something about it, they then their whole lives really then have been a lie. And I feel this is a big problem, so I don't know what you would feel, what you would say about that. Do you think they're kind of they almost don't want to change because they want to hold on to these labels where we glorify them too so much?
I think that that's fair. But I think every person is born with a need to fit in and a need for approval. And some people have a greater psychological need for that than other people do, for sure. But everybody has some element of that within their personality. And I think that this system that has been created where people can be revered and pushed on others as something to look up to, I think that definitely encourages people to seek that. It's kind of there's kind of a high involved with it. It's kind of an emotional addiction, really, because it makes you feel really good about yourself. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel good about yourself, but it's not really genuine when it's manufactured in such a way. And I think that's a message that we need to get across to people, is that it's a very hollow feeling when you get it from something like war. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder if that's why so many, when they come back, they end up committing suicide in a lot of cases, that they've sold this dream of, being the hero that goes abroad, and then they come back, and then I guess once it's they're alone with their thoughts, it's almost like, well, actually, maybe I don't feel like that. I don't know,
Right.
but
And well, and that seems very likely to me, and I've never claimed to be a combat veteran. I never deployed to the Middle East or anything like that. My husband was over there, but he was in Bahrain, and which isn't, technically a combat zone. But I do, I have so many friends that have done it. Even my father, he won't speak of Vietnam. He won't talk about it at all. And I see that in the people that I know that have been destroyed by this. And I see just the disillusionment in their eyes, and they were so built up and pumped up and to be part of this thing where they're defending freedom overseas. But okay, well, all right, well, we're defending freedom. And we're spreading democracy, and it all sounds so great on paper. And then, they've seen the effects of it, and they've seen dead children. Maybe they didn't kill them, but this war certainly did. And how is that? They start to think, who was that kid threatening? Just nobody. How is this justified? And it starts to eat away at them, when you build somebody up so high, and then the crashing disappointment brings them so low. For some of them, there's just no bouncing back, I don't think.
Yeah, it's very sad actually when you go into the depths of it all.
I
And
agree.
it was just it was the same with my grandfather. He's not around anymore, but I heard that he never, I didn't really know him, but he never wanted to talk about the Second World War. And the more I'm understanding, the more I'm thinking, well, I wonder why he doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, obviously, I guess a lot of people don't want to talk about stuff like that, but it kind of would make sense that their thoughts come back to haunt them, and they just
Right.
don't want to acknowledge it. But I guess where
That
the
should tell people something, that these young people are leaving hearth and home fired up with this righteous fire in their souls to do good things and be good people and help, and they come back just with dead eyes and quiet souls and refuse to speak about any of it. And that's still not getting through to people.
So I guess as people that, or to military that may have served, I guess the choices they have when they come back and they realize this is they either don't do anything and don't speak out about the realization that they've had, or they do, and they can then really contribute into sort of really helping and making people realize who the real problem is. So
right, and that's a difficult, really difficult thing to do, though, because you form such a close, a brotherhood. You form such close and tight bonds with the people that you served with, and it really feels like a betrayal to them. It's not about the government. It's not about betraying the government or anything like that. It feels like a betrayal to the people that you've taken in as your brothers and sisters.
Sure.
You know, so it's a really difficult thing for people, I think, to be able to do. And it's when combat veterans are able to do that, I really admire them for that. I really do, because that is so hard. It's so hurtful and painful to do something like that.
And actually, I had a guy I knew, I met last year. He served in the British Army, and he completely woke up to it all, and we had I met him a few times, and it was the same thing. He was aware of the fact that they'd been used and everything like that, but he couldn't, I could see the pain that he had by telling the truth to his comrades, to his ex-comrades. It really pained him, and it was quite obvious to me that the brotherhood was still so strong in him that it kind of overrid everything else. And I guess it must be difficult, but I guess that's where we are right now, and that's what we need to start talking about, I would imagine.
Right, and I think it's really important to... I think one of the things that the public can do that would be really important is to make sure that we're not, you know, I guess not hating these people for the things they have done. You know, a lot of vets won't speak out because even the people who would agree with them are very hateful to them for being a part of it. There's just no forgiveness for people who've realized this. There's no concessions made to the fact that people are so indoctrinated that they will be part of this. There's no understanding for why somebody might make that decision, because maybe they're very poor and it's the best opportunity they have to get out of a ghetto or to do something better with their life. You know, and there's not a lot from the, you know, from a lot of the people in the liberty movements, there's not a lot of forgiveness or understanding for people who have gone to war, even if they're now speaking out about it. And I think that's very wrong, because I think that turns people off from doing it.
Yeah, sure. And you know, to be honest, maybe I'm a little bit guilty of that myself, but
well, and anger is understandable. You know, I mean, people who look at the injustices that have been done and they're angry at the boots on the ground that did it, it's understandable. It is understandable. You know, I want people to let themselves be angry, but you know, it stops where your personal boundaries stop, and you know, projecting that onto someone who's trying now to do the right thing is counterproductive, I think.
Yeah, it's difficult, but I mean, I guess to be supportive on with ex-servicemen or servicemen that want to reveal the truth and want to walk the path of truth, I think from a personal point of view, I immediately have respect and compassion from that person, because they're then doing the right thing. But what I've come across is that many of them are just so defensive of the lie. And you know, I'll be honest. I've had threats and abuse shown to me.
I can imagine
for question. I like and really bad threats. I mean, really bad threats on my own safety, for daring to speak out about this. And I just don't know whether I understand the point of view to for the military that do want to speak out. I've got all the compassion, but I don't feel like a lot of them do want to change. And maybe I'm just in the wrong circles. I mean, you probably have a much better, deeper understanding of what the general consensus is out there than what I do.
Well, that's, it's possible. There's always going to be, people who just don't want to admit it and refuse to because it hurts too badly. But there will be people who even if it hurts, know that it's the right thing to do. And then there'll be people who don't even believe that it was wrong to begin with. So, and honestly, the most, and maybe it's because, I did serve, the most that I can really muster up for the really defensive ones is kind of pity, really. But I still feel that the best way to reach them is with a message of compassion and of love and a message of understanding, and we have a place for you in, our peaceful movement, and you're not going to get judged here. We just want you to, think, and we want you to start thinking for yourself about the rights and wrongs of this. And some people will still reject it, and that's, there's sadly, there's not much we can do about people who want to be lied to. But it doesn't make threats or aggression from them right either. Absolutely does not. And I won't condone that either. So, each individual has to be weighed on their own merits and their own actions.
Sure. Yeah, your message to them there was sent a chill down my spine, actually. And I just imagine that. It would just be great to imagine this world where we could put that message out to military and almost, yeah, like you say, give them that place and that purpose that they went to go to war for, or they thought their purpose was, but almost like a new purpose, a purpose which stands in truth and light, and
Right, and that
it would.
is important because so many of them come home and they flounder because there's nothing to replace that sense of purpose that they were given in the military. So I think that's an important thing if people, really want to help. I think that would be an important thing to find a way to provide for people is, the new sense of purpose, something they can replace that with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. And another thing I want to touch on is obviously the mind control and the brainwashing whilst you're in the military. I mean, what kind of things do happen on a daily basis to get people to conform? What kind
Well,
of sort of tactics goes on in the military?
here's the secret that most people don't understand. By the time somebody joins the military, most of the brainwashing's already done. The military has to do very, very little of it. All of this indoctrination starts in early childhood. It really does. From the very beginning of our lives, especially once we start going to public school, we are taught to respect authority, to seek authority's approval, to seek authority's permission. Like kids can't even, use the bathroom at school without permission from the teacher. Things like this, and it gets built on and built on and built on and built on our entire lives. And at the same time, nationalism is being built on and collectivism is being built on. And so by the time people reach the age to join the military, they have no reason to question it. They've encountered no reason to question it yet their entire lives. So in the military, there's, and this is a fact, you go to any boot camp in this nation, and most, I would say probably 95% of recruits have zero problem getting through it, getting their shit together according to the standards and all of that. you know, 95% of recruits have no problem conforming whatsoever. There's like a 5%, you know, maybe even just 1 to 5% of recruits that are problematic and need, you know, some remediation. And they're, you know, it's very strict and rigid. There's, you know, extra work assigned. There's extra exercise assigned that, you know, can really leave people sore and feeling, you know, this is, oh, maybe I'm not going to do that again. There's consequences for that. You know what I mean? Mm. And then there's a lot of peer pressure, of course. The peer pressure is immense in the military to conform, to be one of them, to plug yourself into that brotherhood that we talked about earlier. So that's a very, you know, when people have joined because they want to feel like they belong in the first place and that they're doing something good, yeah, that's just an extension of the same concept. They just, they want to make sure that they're plugged into the, I mean, you could call it a good old boys club, but it's, you know, it's really not anymore. It's for everybody who joins, women and men. But, you know, most of it ends up being peer pressure. And all of it is an aggregate of all of the indoctrination all of these people have brought to, you know, their unit or their command.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's very clever how they've managed to manipulate society. It's a societal problem when you think about it, because as soon as you're born, you have images of war on TV, on computer mm-hmm. games. I mean, the amount of computer games now that involve shooting and guns and war, it's like it's just normalized in people's minds as something that's just completely natural and actually is quite good fun.
And, and people have become very desensitized to the thought of ending a human life.
Exactly. And I remember myself, I went through a phase of playing those games, those war games, in my early 20s, and having my mates come round, and we would, so I know, and now I think, oh my God, I can't believe it. I was playing those games. But it's true when you think about it, mm-hmm. from cradle to grave, we are indoctrinated with how war is good, how it's something to be proud of.
Right.
So it's very, it makes sense that once they join, like you say, it would be very easy for them just to get them to do whatever they want to do.
Right, and it's not just, war imagery either. It's, you know, sports. Gosh, how many people will fill a soccer stadium or a, you know, an American football stadium, and to root for their team? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm, and like there's this collectivist sense where people can feel like they've really accomplished something if they're on the winning team. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think this is one of the biggest problems that humanity faces. I've always said, and I really believe, collectivism is a cancer on humankind.
Absolutely 100% with you on that. Patriotism, collectivism, it's absolute mind control. Flag waving, ridiculous, isn't it?
Mob mentality, absolutely. And you know, and people just don't put that label on it, but that's the one that it fits, you know. And people can intellectually realize that mob mentality is the absolute lowest form of human action, and you know, and human mental action even, and yet still not realize that that's exactly what all of this is, all the nationalism, all the sports teams, all of the, you know, the first person shooter video games, all of, you just, you know, you're on a team. Oh, it's all about the team. Well, you know, the team means that you do what the team does and you're supporting what the team does, whether it's right or not. Well, by God, you're part of that team. And people just can't seem to evenly and consistently apply this concept of mob mentality being really a very bad thing to every aspect of their life.
Exactly. And if you say that to someone, then you're a traitor, or you're not patriotic.
If you're not with us, you're against us. Well, no.
Yeah.
That's a false dichotomy. That's not true at all.
Yeah, it's just divide and rule, isn't it? It's
Yes.
while we're pitting off against each other, even in sports, like you say. I mean, it's like England v France, America v Mexico, or
Right.
it's constantly divide, 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 and
Right. And the amount of pride people take in
oh yeah.
something they never even did. You know, you watch the Olympics and people just get so wound up and so hyped and so psyched about their team doing this great. Oh, America's the greatest country on earth. Look at all the gold medals we won. We didn't win anything. That athlete won that medal. You didn't do anything. You
Yeah.
sat at home and watched it on TV. Why are you taking pride in this?
I know. It's sometimes you just have to take a step back and look at it all and just kind of laugh, because otherwise
Right.
you just end up spiraling down into a deep depression.
Exactly.
I've been
Yes.
saying for the last few weeks that, realizing, if you can realize that you're actually living in a mental asylum, then
Right.
it makes the whole thing so much easier to deal with.
Yes.
But nevertheless, mental asylum, though it is, we're here to change it, and that is the really exciting thing. And I just love seeing people like yourself just standing out and having the courage to do what you've done. And we are seeing more and more of this, and it's such an interesting time to be alive, as depressing as it is sometimes, and
Right.
how as really terrible things are on the surface. I think there is a quiet, which is getting louder, sort of undercurrent, which is starting to get bigger.
I agree, and there is, I do believe that there's hope. And you know, I'm always going to believe in the human spirit, as long as, you know, in the individual human spirit. I don't think that, you know, people getting together in groups is a good idea, because then you're subject to the loudest and stupidest and most aggressive person in the group. But the individual human spirit, I will always believe in. And I like how you talk about you have to, you know, kind of be able to laugh about this. And I really, it's this is a vicious cycle. It's a sad thing that you have to have a well-developed sense of the ridiculous to stay sane in today's society.
Exactly, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. But you know, I think it's great that we are living in an age where we are so connected to other people. Maybe not person to person as much as we should be, but technology has connected us all around the world. You know, I'm sitting on the East Coast of the United States of America right now, talking to you so far away, and we're able to do this because of technology. And I think that's a great thing, because previously technology was solely in the hands of, you know, the narrative writers. And now it's in our hands, and it's our chance to get these messages out that they don't want us telling each other. So I think
Exactly.
that's a good thing, and that gives me hope.
Yeah, for sure. Like we were saying, I think they've given us the internet, and I think it was a big boo-boo on their behalf. I think it's a big mistake, because we've just turned the tables. It's what I
Well,
truly
they're trying to
believe.
take it back. They're always trying to
Yeah.
regulate it.
Well, I think people will let most of their rights and freedoms go. I think most people would, but I think if it comes to the internet, then we might see more people stand up, because
Right.
the kind of control would be so blatantly obvious if they were starting to censor the internet. And I really don't think that they can do it. I think that the cat is out of the bag as far as the internet is concerned. And they've
Right.
just got to try and, they have all their algorithms on Facebook, which is annoying, and
Right.
censorship. But generally, the lion is awakening, and every day new people are speaking out, and there's more and more people just becoming aware of the lies. And
Right.
I think that the system is getting really desperate. I see it more and more making mistakes. There's more and more of
Absolutely.
these fake terrorist attacks and this kind of thing going on by the day almost. So
Right.
I think that we can take a lot of hope from that.
I think so too. I think it's clear that they are on the defensive. You know, the people are starting to realize who the real enemies are around here, and it's put them on the defensive, I think, which it makes them dangerous, but it also tells us that what we're doing is working, and it's making them afraid of us, which they should be. They absolutely should be afraid of us. They have no right to rule us. Nobody has any right to rule another human being. And people are waking up to this. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And you know, I'm going to keep pushing for it. And I'm going to keep talking to people. And I'm going to keep trying to change minds. And what you were talking about them giving us the internet was a mistake on their part. I absolutely agree, because that, you know, it's so ubiquitous now, and it lets us connect directly to people from all over the world. And there's no way to avoid having that connection, humanize those other people to us, because before they were unknown, they were easy to make into enemies. Now we can know them, we can FaceTime with them, we can Skype them, we can talk to them on Facebook, you know, all of these things that we can do, and we can see them as the human beings that they are. They're not some boogeyman. And I think that was a real mistake, too. I think they thought it was going to anesthetize us, all of this, you know, this dependency on technology. But they don't realize that it's also connected us, and it's made their lies easier to spot.
Yeah, exactly. I think they have had a certain amount of success with the technology, but I think overall it was not a good thing for them to do in terms of a move against humanity. But
Yeah,
yeah,
nobody would argue that every effect has been positive.
exactly. Yeah, especially when it comes to chasing Pokemons around, right?
Oh my goodness, that's the most ridiculous. Yeah, and stupid words like fleek being made popular. No, that's a negative effect of technology.
I've not heard that one. I don't even know what it means. I don't even know what bay means. I keep seeing that everywhere. I have no idea what it means, but
As far as I know, it just is the it's a shortened version of babe, you know, people
Oh,
calling their
right. Okay.
significant other that. And then I guess this word fleek is supposed to be it's supposed to mean that you're very well put together and well groomed, you know, and that you're very stylish,
How
I guess.
do you spell it? F Flea
F
as in
L
F.
E E K.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. I had to look it up in the Urban Dictionary because I could
Oh,
not for the life of me.
there's an urban dictionary now, is there?
Oh yeah, it's online, definitely.
Oh
And
dear.
I had to look it up because for the life of me, I could not figure out what this stupid word I kept hearing meant.
Yeah, crazy,
You
crazy.
know.
So just going back to the military again. So you have friends still serving, or not, or friends that you used to serve with, I'm
Yeah.
assuming.
Oh, a lot of both. Yeah, I have friends that are still serving. I have friends that have gotten out.
What's the
I
general
even, you know,
consensus?
my best friend is a military cop. She, you know, that's what
Okay.
she does right now. Or she's a police officer on a military base. And you know, and I definitely don't hate her for it. You know, I understand that she takes a lot of pride in it. And I can think that a person is misguided and still feel compassion for them and still like them as a human being, you know. But I have a lot of friends that most of the people I served with I have gotten out or retired by now, but I do still have some that are active duty. So yeah.
And what are their feelings on this, on what you're talking about? I mean, they must have seen your vlog, and do they say anything, or you just do your own thing and kind of, 'cause it's obviously sensitive subject.
It is, yeah, and you know, it's largely been crickets from my community of military friends. There have been a few that have shared it and said, you know, this is what I've always felt and couldn't articulate, or you know, I wish the public would listen to this and understand that we're people, you know, and they'll take a very kind of a well, this was interesting. It gave me something to think about, kind of position. But again, it's very difficult when you've been so indoctrinated and when you've been part of it and you feel like you have a stake in it. It's very difficult to realize that stake might be guilt.
Well, and it's admitting that, I mean, some people have spent years and years serving, haven't they? And
yes.
Training.
My husband was in for 13 years.
Yeah, so you're not only are you expecting them to admit that they were wrong, but that means admitting that their whole life up until that point was also a lie, built on a lie. So.
Right, and when my husband watched it, he's not quite as far along on the road of, you know, of anti-establishment as I am, anyways. And
I'm sure he'll get there with you by his side.
He's close, but you know, he did a lot more time than I did. But he watched it and he said, you know, I can't argue with what you said. It was really hurtful, though. And you didn't hurt me, but having to think about it, that hurt me. And why is it even hurting? It's wrong that hearing truth like that applied to this should hurt me. But it did, and I found it very hurtful. But you're right, and I can't argue with it. And, you know, and that really made me feel for him, you know. And I think that would be a really common, probably, reaction for a lot of people who have served that actually do take a moment of real honesty with themselves to think about what was in it. And I think it would be hurtful to a lot of them. And I guess I don't blame them for not wanting to jump on it right away and share it. I feel like maybe it's boiling in the back of their minds, you know, the slow kind of simmer in the back of their minds, and they might eventually want to share it or want to do one of their own, or, you know, think that I made some sense, hopefully. And planting seeds is all we can do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you never know when those seeds are going to sprout. The main thing is you've done your job. Your moral obligation has been filled by planting that seed. And kudos to you on that. And it must be, that's why I have so much respect, because I understand the mentality of, not that I've been there, but I understand how it is such a tight-knit community, the military, and probably the ex-military, for anyone to come out and be honest deserves a great amount of respect. So thank you for your message there.
And, absolutely. And you know, and I had people do that for me too. Some of my friends on Facebook are, you know, ex-military, ex-combat vets, and they're anarchists now, or voluntarists, or whatever label you want to put on it. And they were able to really, they're the ones that I listened to the easiest, because they were military too, you know. And it made me feel like I didn't have to abandon the entire sense of belonging that I had from it, because there is, you know, there's a subgroup within the veteran community that does believe that these things are wrong and we shouldn't have been doing them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really great opportunity for military and ex-military to, like you say, build on this subgroup. They'll have all the support in the world from people within the Truth and Freedom movement.
Yes.
And almost building like another army, isn't it? Like a new army, an army that's enshrined in truth. I mean, God, it's amazing, isn't
right.
it? Can you imagine this growing... This growing new, because we need them, you know, we need them on our side, and we just need them to choose the right side and come with the people. And that really excites me, because, you know, I don't know if I'll see it or when we'll see it, but I know we will see it. And people like yourself are really the pioneers for the start of that. And I just think it's really exciting that is going to be where we get to. How quickly we get there depends on how much people get active, I think.
Right. And you know, there's historically, there's always been kind of this subgroup of combat veterans and veterans that have spoken against wars. You know, even the Napoleonic Wars, some of the veterans, you know, would come back and And there were some that would speak out and write against what was being done. But I think in this day and age, we have the chance for that subgroup to really become relevant and to really become a large movement. And we may have a chance to make a real difference with it this time. I hope so anyways, you know, and maybe all I ever accomplish is being on the right side of history. Maybe it doesn't happen in my lifetime. Maybe it doesn't happen in my children's lifetime. But, you know, if I can convert one person, if I can help one person arrive at these basic truths, you know, and then maybe they pass that on to their kids, and maybe they pass it on, you know, they will then pass it on to theirs. You know, it's almost like a Ponzi scheme, I guess. You know, the more people you can touch with this, and then who will then go and spread this. And there's nothing avaricious about it. It's all a message of love and individuality. And so I don't think there's any reason to label it with something negative like Ponzi scheme, but you know, it's the same concept. You know, there's ripple effects to everything that you do, and I want the ripples from the things that I do, I want them to be positive.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're definitely being on that. And yeah, it's just getting them to see that they're our brothers and sisters, and mm-hmm. they're part of us, they're part of humanity, and
right.
Like you said earlier, just realizing that they have a place, and mm-hmm. come over. You know, what are you waiting for? This is the exciting team to be on. These are the trailblazers. These are the history makers. And
right.
What more of a purpose could someone want than to really, really change the way this world has been throughout time? Because it's been we've not ever really lived in a warless world, and
no, we haven't. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, but yeah, we've never lived on a peaceful planet. So
yeah, exactly. So I think I would echo that, and just anyone that's thinking about it, you know, come over.
Right, but, we are here for you, and we care about you, and we love you, and we know that you are a human being, and you are welcome here.
Exactly. So, and I have to ask you, I was so pleased that I watched your other vlog yesterday.
The short one about voting.
The short one, yeah, and I was like, I was really excited about interviewing you anyway, but I didn't really know where you stood politically. I didn't know whether you still bought into the illusion or anything like that. But then I saw that. I didn't think that you did, but you never know. I mean, I've done a few of these, and people, they don't, not everyone thinks the same on everything else, but it was, I mean, that is a huge, that is a huge fundamental issue in terms of us. Well, I'll let you say it. I mean, explain what your second message was about, because I you know, I talk about this a lot, and I'm 100% advocate of it.
Right. Sure. Yeah. So my second video was in response to a question that I get really often from, you know, family, friends, people who've shared or commented that first video. Who am I going to vote for? And, you know, and I mention in the video that's what's known as a false dichotomy, because it's a question that's presented only with a certain set of answers to choose from, when in fact there's at least one other option that wasn't presented. And the option that wasn't presented is the idea that I'm not going to vote. I don't vote, and I won't be voting. And I'll admit that I voted in the past, you know, before I woke up, I did. because I believed that, you know, we're a team, and let's, you know, I want to be on the team, and I want to contribute. That's not contributing. Voting isn't contributing. Voting is the act of asking a third party to rule other people. And like I said in the video, that's all democracy is. You know, democracy is mob rule. It is 51% of the people telling the other 49 how to live their lives, and it's wrong. And so I don't vote anymore. As for my own position, excuse me, on a government in general, I'm extremely anti-government at all. I'm very anti-state. Because it goes back to the same concept. Nobody has a right to rule anybody else. There is no right. It doesn't exist. And since I don't have that right, I can't give that right to other people. And that's what supporting government is giving non-existent rights to people to, use against yet more people. And that's wrong. And what makes it the worst, like the worst part about this, is the people who run for public office, the people who want to rule other people, they are habitually, and I mean, it's a real pattern. They are the worst elements of society. They really are.
That's the crazy thing about it.
Isn't it? I know. Only somebody who has mental problems wants to rule other people, wants to be the absolute boss of other people, wants to be able to order other people's death, wants to be able to steal from other people. And that's what government is. Every law ever written is backed by a death threat. Every penny in tax ever collected was extorted from the person it was taken from because they were given no option to refuse. Just because you have a specific costume or this piece of paper that we call credentials or this shiny piece of metal that we call a badge, just because you have these things doesn't give you extra rights. It doesn't make what you are doing anything but what it is. You can call it taxes all you want, but it's still extortion. You can call it war, but it's still murder and invasion, and it's aggression. You know what I mean? You can call it, what's the other one? There's so many of these, but it's the same concept for everything. I mean, you can call it politics, and you can call it market controls and bailouts, but it's still racketeering.
I'm with you on that. I'm a big fan of calling things out exactly as what they are,
Yes.
not the propaganda words that we're told. And
Exactly.
I think we need to start using the words that really describe what's going on,
Right,
like
and there's a
in.
big movement to do just that. There was a and some of it's a little lighthearted, some of it's tongue in cheek, but sometimes that's a better way to get through to people. But there was a kind of a movement in the, let's call it the memosphere. People love memes. I love memes. I really
I
do.
love
It's
memes.
one of my
Memes are
guilty
brilliant.
pleasures. But have you seen all the taxation is theft memes?
Yeah,
Oh, those
brilliant.
are
Absolutely
great. And
brilliant.
I've made a bunch of them myself, and I just love those. And I think that it's a fun and relatable way to get through to people. And I think a lot of people have, thought about it. Well, it kind of is theft. Jeez, I never thought of it that way, and most people don't.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because you know what people's attention span is like these days. I mean, it's like less than a goldfish. And these memes, they're so quick, but they're so effective, and they're hilarious as well. I mean, to I think satire is so important
Oh,
in
yes.
this, because you when you're talking about war, death, and all these really depressing things, a meme about Obama and whatever and what he's done, and it just really lightens it and gets the message through so quickly. But I saw a funny one, a really the best one I saw was the other day. Was it said something like the along the lines of this guy was in his 60s telling his grandkids about the meme wars that he fought in the late
Yes,
2000s.
I love that one. I've seen that one. I love it. That's
You
good.
can just imagine, can't you, when I was your age, yeah, we was
Right.
posting memes about Obama.
Right, definitely. I
it's
think it's a
really
fun way
good.
to reach people. They're punchy, they're to the point. Like a good meme is punchy and to the point and can make people think and make them, giggle or laugh or whatever. It's a lot easier to reach people through humor. George Carlin knew that. George
Oh yeah,
Carlin was a
brilliant.
great voice for the Liberty Movement. He really was. I mean, his work was just, people laughed about it and they didn't realize the deeper meaning, but it was still there and it was still sinking into their consciousness. And you know, was still maybe influencing the way that they saw things in the future. And I think that was an amazing talent that he had.
Yeah, genius for sure, for sure. But yeah, it's just breaking down people's indoctrine mindset on the on this war of bullshit
right.
that we're involved in.
And absolutely.
I think we touched on it earlier. I think in regards